My name's Stephen Neal, pastor at Alden Bethel Church and blogger at Building Jerusalem.
And my name's Stephen Watkinson, church planter in Rochdale and blogger at Northern Souls.
So, Stephen, you've been church planting in Rochdale now for 2 years?
Coming up,
year and a half, something
year
like
and a
that.
Half, really, yeah.
Yeah, and are you planning on quitting yet?
Yeah, pretty much. Give me another 6 weeks and I'll...
Yeah, I mean, and we regularly go through this cycle here, deciding whether we want to carry on and do this or not. What? And when you sort of look online and things like that, and you see an awful lot of talk about people wanting to quit ministry and leave ministry, and it's a regular topic of conversation, whether it's burnout for some, depression for others, just had enough of the job for others again. Why do you think this rolls around so frequently?
See, I think there's two different sets of things going on. I mean, I'm sure they're related, but one is the set of things that are an issue about the job, and that's probably quite well documented, but I think probably bears talking about because I think it changes, and I think the other set of things are probably about the issue of the people going into the job, and I think some of that is probably documented as well, but say I think there are a set of things, and I think it's a tricky one. There are a set of things about pastoral ministry that make pastoral ministry hard. And I don't think that's... People always then want to say something like, oh, yes, but there's things about other, you know, whether it's being a teacher or a doctor or a bin man or whatever it is that make that hard, which, of course, is true. And of course, is why people leave those jobs. but it doesn't really answer the question about pastoral ministry. But alongside that, I wonder if one of the things we're getting wrong is we're not matching those things up, those two areas. That if my expectations and the realities of... So pastoral ministry does have a bunch of hard things. And if my expectations aren't very clear on that, when I hit those hard things, I will either decide that I've got the worst job and that there are better pastoral ministry jobs out there. And that might be true. I mean, you know, that happens. Or it might just be that I don't have a very realistic picture of what pastoral ministry is. And part of an issue there is, again, if pastoral ministry has changed, which I think it's changed massively in the last 50 years probably, and if people who've taught us about pastoral ministry come from that past, then we've got a whole sort of set of things coming together that mean that I will probably walk away. They are... come together to mean that people walk away, and I do think it's understandable. I mean, hard jobs at hard stages of life are not necessarily, particularly if they're not very well, if they're not very rewarding, whether that's financially or personally or whatever it is, people will walk away from them, and so you've got to have a mindset in place that will stop you walking away. If, you know, if we're saying, I think broadly we would be saying we want people in pastoral ministry and sticking in pastoral ministry.
So I don't know anyone who goes into ministry of any sort who would deny before they go in that it will be hard in some way. So everybody seems to be aware this will be hard. But it does also seem to me that there's a high proportion of people who, when something is what they perceive to be hard, the hardness seems to be a level at which they can't cope and it seems beyond reason for them, when they would acknowledge before they went in ministry will be hard and there'll be difficult things, but as soon as they hit what they perceive to be difficulties, they feel that they're insurmountable and you know, you can't press on through them. And I guess on top of that, it's a question of whether they're realistic in how hard those things are. Because I do think there are genuinely hard things in ministry, but where we all draw the boundaries of what's hard and what isn't, and what's tolerable and what isn't, we all put that in different places, don't we?
See, I think the thing that I think is difficult is that I think it's true. I think no one is going to tell you that ministry isn't hard. I think two things probably come into play that maybe are relatively new, not new things in terms of ministry, but new things in terms of how people approach it. One is, I think it's the length of time. So for example, no one goes into ministry expecting to make money out of it, like serious money. Well, actually some people probably do, but they probably go a different way to which we, but a lot of people probably don't necessarily then hold together the fact that the grind of sticking on a not very high income for a long period of time while you watch your friends, you know, easily out earn you within short periods of time, and you're never going to see that change. I think that long-term thing, and you can apply that to loads of things. So people expect that there might be conflicts, that they're going to have to fight battles. But then when they get the reality of, I've been fighting battles for 10 years, and that's hard. And so it's that kind of wearing down, as if the hard stuff should only last for a bit.
But I think people are often hitting on those conflicts and things
earlier.
And very often you find people are saying, yeah, they don't cope very well at all with that. I think there is an element of which we almost expect things to be relatively comfortable. So when we say it'll be hard, what we mean is, there'll be some little challenges for us.
I think that's the second thing. Yeah. So I think the long term. So I think people will cope with the short term with hard, and then be surprised that it goes on for the long term. But I do think that second thing really then is that there's this sort of general feeling that it's going to be fun, and there might be some tough bits in it. And I think there's also you can tie that into the kind of cultural moment that we're in, that broadly speaking, when bad things happen, they're other people's fault and you walk away. And it's, you don't, there isn't the kind of thing of you press on. You can kind of tie those things together and sort of go, even though we talk about it being hard, the cultural kind of thing of, yeah, but when things are hard, I mean, almost everything that you can read from the culture and stuff about when things are hard, it's about taking your life to a better place. And the better place involves cutting out the hard. So if people in your life are difficult, you cut them out of your life. You know, if your job is difficult, you change your job. That is the cultural, you know. And I mean, it fits in with all the kind of work-life balance stuff and all the, if your work isn't working for you, you change your work, you know. And so although there's a, and it's not to undermine people's passion to serve the Lord and to do good things for the Lord, if the kind of within that, the expectation might be, but if it's not working for me, I go. And I do something different, or I find a better ministry job or whatever, then that's going to be a strong pull in that situation where things get hard. And I don't really know of ministry positions where things don't get hard and where probably things aren't long term difficult. And I don't mean just generally unhappy churches. I just mean that within any church, there's usually stuff happening that is difficult. You know, there might be loads of really good stuff, but even in that, there will be some stuff that is hard. There'll be either conflict or, you know, heartbreaking pastoral things, or, you know, just general pressure about finances or whatever it is.
Yeah, and inevitably things will not be the way you would have them be. You know, we I don't think I've ever been in a church that's been exactly as I wanted it. And even when you become the pastor of a church, people seem to assume the church will be exactly as you want it, without recognising there's a whole bunch of stuff beyond your control anyway. And there's a whole load of other people in the church who are choosing to give way to on it.
Yeah, and possibly even with where we teach people about it being hard, we have too many little phrases about pastoral work, or little ideas that have a grain of truth in them, but that actually don't tend to work out like that. So it's the I can't remember how many times I've heard someone say the word will do the work. So it's kind of very much part of my kind of training and growing up in ministry. Now I think that's true, as in, you know, you need to rely on teaching the word of God. That, you know, the power is in the Spirit applying the word to people's lives. That's what that's getting at, and that's true. However, it's not true that just because you preach the word, people will change. And the problem is, you have that little thing going on, and you preach the word and people don't change, because that's how it often happens. And the problem is, that is hard, you know, and that can be a real grinding thing, where you're in a church where you've got maybe quite a few people who you're preaching the word and they don't even like it. Mm. And, you know, they'll tell you how bad a preacher you are because you preach the word. You know, and there's just other things like that, isn't there, where, you know, maybe it's the kind of current ministry fad about what you should do for evangelism, or what you should do for small groups, or whatever it is. And the impression is, do this and all will be well, and actually you do it and it's not, and it doesn't work in exactly the way that you wanted. And so you have that kind of stuff, where even kind of true-ish things and well-intentioned things are dragging you down, because they're creating that kind of... So what you're learning with all of that is that you're a failure. And then I think you have this cultural thing that basically says, where stuff is failing in life, you get rid of it. And I think we can't be that surprised that then, just psychologically or whatever it is, people walk away. And we might, whether you term that burnout, or because it's the kind of thing that will lead to burnout in some people, because they'll start to do everything to try and make it work and jettison all the things that they need to stop them, you know, losing.
Do you think there's also generational things going on here as well? I mean, you're what, Gen X?
I don't know. I was like born in the 70s, mid 70s. That's Gen X, isn't it?
Well, possibly, yeah.
Even before that.
Yeah. You know, I'm sort of a high end millennial, like older end millennial, what they call the geriatric millennials.
That's so offensive, isn't it? You're a geriatric millennial.
I know, it's horrendous. But there it is. But we're being at that end. Also, I think my particular upbringing was such that really I was raised more like a Gen Xer anyway. My wife's the same. She's the youngest of five. And all of her siblings would be Gen Xers apart from her. And the way she was raised was very much more like people from that generation. Mm. And we've noticed it a number of times that we very much have a sort of just, you know, head down, plow on sort of mentality to most stuff. So things get hard and things are difficult, things are unpleasant or whatever. And our general position is, look, that's of itself no reason to do any different, or no reason to go anywhere. You know, you keep going, you stick at it and you go. Whereas our impression of most people of our generation, at least, and the generation below us as well, is that sort of stickability is not there on the whole. Not always, and there are noble exceptions to that. So I don't want to tar an entire generation of people, because, you know, people are different, aren't they? But there does seem to be a lack of stickability.
And it's worth critiquing our kind of take on that, in that I think it is true that lots of people who are like us stick at things that they shouldn't stick at. So we are often very unable to see the wood for the trees on that kind of thing. And there are times, you know, we'll all have seen churches and stuff where the pastor should leave. And for all kinds of reasons, maybe for them, you know, maybe this church is, I mean, you know, you might paint this whole argument about evangelicals in the Church of England who have stuck at it when they probably shouldn't have. And certainly I know lots of people who I think are in positions in the Church of England where they're sticking at something and ploughing on, and you look at it and go, I just think you're wasting your ministry. I don't want to be horrible, but I think that it was it's the time. You know, there's better things that you could be doing, right, and you should do them. The flip side of that, of course, is that when we move into a kind of context where it's interesting, isn't it? That, I mean, for a long time in America, you had this, and I think you still have this thing where, like, the average pastor is 18 months or something, some horrific kind of like short period of time. I mean, and when you're moving into that kind of thing where people are just walking away, I do think there's stuff to discuss about why pastoral ministry can be toxic and what's expected. And I think there are things about the job and how it's changed in people's expectations. But we've got to move to a situation where that's not what's happening. You know, you need people to be able to be in pastoral ministry for sort of a 10-year job kind of thing without that being either something they can't manage or something that is so toxic they shouldn't be managing. And I do think you have a cultural expectation of things being easy. I mean, it's an interesting thing, isn't it, where you would look across other professions and go, why are we seeing it in pastoral ministry? Are we seeing it in other professions for people of that age group? Maybe we are. I mean, maybe this whole kind of, there's definitely a lot more moving around of jobs and moving around of locations and people walking away from things. But people do tend to stick at their profession, you know, if they've trained for it. I mean, not totally. There is more moving out of professions. And I do wonder if in pastoral ministry, therefore, we've not done a good job in kind of going, do you know what you're getting into?
Yeah, and I don't know. I wonder whether there is personality things at play as well. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes you train for a role and you go into it, and there are aspects of it at which you'll be good and aspects of it at which you're bad. And depending on the context you're in, the things that you're good or bad at may or may not play into how difficult and tenable the situation may be. I don't know. But I just wonder whether there's something in the way we're training people as well for ministry that just means, though in their heads they recognise, oh yes, there will be some difficulties, there will be some things that are hard or whatever it is, however they put it, ultimately there is such a high dropout rate from the ministry that either there's a problem with the way we're doing it and what we're expecting from people.
Well, which I think might be true.
Indeed. Or there is a problem with what people are expecting when they go into it.
And maybe, I mean, we used to joke in the Church of England that lots of clergy were in the position because there's no other job that they'd be allowed to do. Because you often would get kind of, in the nicest possible way, there's just a lot of odd people who whether they got increasingly odd or whether they started that way. And there can, I think, be an element where we sort of, what we're bringing into ministry, full-time ministry, people who, it's not that they wouldn't get another job, but what we're painting is this sort of, and maybe even, I mean, it's things like, you know, like lots of churches have done apprentice schemes and kind of, there are a lot of initial sort of church jobs, and they are fun, basically. So, you know, I think of some of the apprentice schemes that I saw up fairly close and think, well, basically what you got to do was have loads of kind of training and input, which was all really interesting, and you got to talk with people who were doing it, and then you got to do a bit of boring grunt work, but it was low stress. It was like, you know, move the chairs and, you know, clean the church and that kind of thing. Well, I mean, okay, it's not huge fun, but no one's going to go, oh, that's like ruining my life. And then And then you got Steve Fund Ministry, basically, which was like read the Bible with people and run the youth group and, you know, whatever it was. And then you switch into like being a pastor and you realize all the, actually, this is quite stressful, these bits. And these bits really aren't fun, you know, talking to people about this and having conflict about that. And so the problem is if we think that, and then within the training that you've had, you've been told that essentially your role is word ministry and prayer. So, you know, we'd go to like the Acts 6 bit and the apostles don't want to be distracted from the ministry of teaching and prayer. And we kind of go, well, that's what it's got to be about, which is true, you know. And then you get into it and it's not that. So, I think there's loads of stuff about how we prepare and train people that, I mean, it's interesting, I had an apprentice once and we spent quite a lot of time talking about what I was finding really difficult, because I kind of thought, it's interesting, he's not gone into church ministry, I don't think, but but obviously I'm brilliant at that. But maybe there is an element of just trying to be a bit more real about, you know, not having much of an income means this. Living in this area to do ministry means this. You know, doing week in, week out teaching of the word two or three times means this. So it's not the kind of fun study that you think it is necessarily. You know, just a bit more.
I think that's right, but my experience is you can be as open and direct and clear with people about the realities, and I think what tends to happen is people hear you and go, oh yeah, no, I understand that, that sounds reasonable, and
I've done that,
and then they turn up and they go, oh, I didn't realize it was like this, and you say, well, they're like, well, you know,
I didn't realize that ministry was going to involve standing up to lots of people and you know, being left out in the cold by lots of people and having to leave a church and, you know, moving out of a denomination and losing your house and all that kind of thing and your income. You know, I didn't know it would be all of that. And you're right that there therefore is a kind of, what I worry about is that if we present a certain thing, then we almost select people for ministry who are looking for that, you know, looking for the fun of ministry. And actually part of our selection, I mean, I guess, is it why, for example, you know, you have to be, the elder has to be able to manage their household, because that's not a short-term, easy kind of thing. You know, that's the same sort of thing, isn't it, where you kind of go, this is, there's loads of pressures and there's loads of difficulties and it's ongoing and it doesn't, things don't just resolve straightforwardly, and therefore if I can see you just doing that and not walking away from your family, then I can see that you have that kind of stickability or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point, isn't it? You're meant to judge, aren't you, based on the character criteria of eldership. And I think very often, because we're so desperate now for people to go into ministry,
yeah,
I think we lessen what scripture often asks for. I think you can have another danger, you can never ever find elders ever, because, you know, you put such a high view of what all those things mean. But I do think people have to have some track record, don't they, of managing their homes and managing their families and managing their work life and all those types of things, which if they don't have that track record, when you get into ministry and there's no one particularly over you, or if they are over you, you've got quite a lot of free rein to do what you're going to do, you're really going to struggle if you've never had to do that before.
I suppose it is speaking into that kind of culture, isn't it, of going, well, actually, if we live in, I mean, it's probably all collapsed following the pandemic, but you know, you had a lot of a generation working in a gig culture where they were doing a bit of this and a bit of that, and even before that you had a generation who were doing a job here and they would get bored of that and go and do a job there and go and do that, and you know, and sort of just speaking into that and going, pastoral ministry isn't supposed to be the job you come and do for a couple of years and disappear, and so I want to see something of the fact that that isn't going to happen. I mean, it's, you know, I wouldn't say it was particularly good training for pastoral ministry, but in me doing the thing about doing a PhD was that you just had to stick at it. It was a real, I mean, and mine was rubbish and I took ages, so I had to really stick at it. So. But that helped me. It helped me in the sense of you either walk away from that, and lots of people do, you know, lots of people get 3 years in and go, I'm never going to finish this and walk away. Or you go, well, I've just got to finish it, and therefore I'm going to have to go for the next couple of years and do it. And it's sort of maybe sort of going, like I say, you can see that in people's families, and, you know, if you're looking at someone who has got kids and is married and is going through that, it's not the only way, but you know, you can kind of go, actually they look like they're sticking at that and managing it fairly well, versus they actually look like they're trying to outsource all of that and not deal with it,
or just managing everything very badly.
Yeah. So there's a set of things, I suppose, where you'd be looking, and maybe we need to be better at that in terms of selecting people. Like you say, I think everything from your training courses that are desperate to fill the places, to your churches who are desperate for people to be in ministry, to and just having a bit more, actually, if one of the things is that people are struggling with this, then that's therefore one of the things we need to look for more carefully, where we perhaps would have expected to look for that as carefully 50 years ago. Because we just would have, it would have been more of a given. And you know, and other things, I mean, interestingly, you know, the flip side of that, because we have all this training now, we're less worried about looking for whether someone is going to be able to handle the Bible, because we can just go, okay, they've done this. Now, it doesn't guarantee it, but do you know what I mean? We've got some, perhaps easier to find that confidence now, where it's harder to find the confidence of someone who has that stickability. We'll be right back.